Blog Talk Radio. Are we live?
I am.
Hit the music again. Let's just start over. I can cut this out of the one we send to the other place. So just hit the music again and pretend like this didn't happen. Hey, wait. Do we not have the new music?
Apparently not.
Oh, Lord. This is going to be a great show, everybody. All right, hit that music then, I guess. Greetings and welcome to Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex, the only show where two total dudes review one total divas show and delight the entire world. I am one half of those aforementioned dudes. I am the top hunk of pop punk, the brains behind America's favorite wrestling-themed Ramones core pop punk band. The Razor Ramones. I am Rex Razor Sharp. And joining me, as always, on this arduous journey of a nightmare, is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, the host of the Sign of the Times, the host of Sign Guy's Wrestling Show. He is the Popeye to my Bluto, a.k.a. Brutus. So, and welcome to the show, the genius known only as Sign Guy. Sign Guy, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing much better now that I am off of the hi-fi option for Blog Talk. And I have exciting news, something you've waited an entire week to hear. I know you've been on pins and needles, which is weird because you really should have cleaned up your furniture. I know you've wanted to hear this. The red velvet tea was delightful.
Whoa, wow. This is important. This is late breaking news. Tell us about it. What was delightful?
I was a little unsure of how they would work in the taste of red velvet, but they managed to do so. It doesn't hit you immediately. It's more of a secondary flavor. You get kind of a hibiscus tea, and then boom, there's all of a sudden a red velvet flavor, and you're like, wow, how did that happen?
Wow.
But it did. It really did.
Now, was there a cream cheese note to it, or was it mostly just the chocolate? How did you feel about it?
Well, it wasn't a chocolate. It was a red velvetness.
Red velvet is chocolate. We all know this.
It is not. Otherwise, they would call
it
chocolate.
It's red chocolate, but it's assuredly chocolate.
It's red velvet. Velvet.
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want to call it, brother, but red velvet is chocolate.
This is possibly the most wrong you have ever been.
It is not. It is just straight up chocolate, and they make it look red.
Not buying that at all. Not a bit. Mm. If you sold it
look
half off, I still
would
not buy it.
The natural tinting may have been the source for the name Red Velvet. as well as Devil's Food and similar names for chocolate cakes.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Telling you, brother, it's chocolate. But was there a cream cheese buttercream sort of note to it, or was it just the chocolate?
There was no chocolate, but it was just the tiniest pinch of the buttercream.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it. So if you're looking for a tea, and I know you're always on the lookout for teas because you love tea, try the Stash's Red Velvet. See what you think of it. Skip that jam and lemon ginger of the Bigelow variety.
Well, we'll see. We had a lot of technical difficulties tonight of no fault of our own.
But Sherry was right on that, and she finally solved it. She worked, and she worked for 2 hours. She worked until she got to the source of the problem and finally brought us this arduous journey of a nightmare.
So what if the problem was Sherry and her inability to do her job properly?
She did her job properly. It was the engineers at Blog Talk that did not do their job properly. Sherry overrode them and fixed things.
Now, there's another person I am taking umbrance with this week. We were supposed to have new entrance music this week, and that didn't happen. Sign guy, would you like to call out the man that was supposed to do this?
No, because then we'll never get any sound clips on this show ever again, because he'll just,
you know what,
like, stay in bed under the covers.
We don't need Beast. Just give me the information and I'll figure out how to do it, and it'll be done perfectly.
Wow.
There we go. Beast is cut out entirely.
Wow.
Because this music was important. We needed it because this probably would have been our debut episode for something new that's looking to happen to us in the near future. But now it's going to have to wait another week.
Sherry would have had it done. Sherry's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. We should have asked Sherry to upload it. Can you still get her on? Maybe we can just start over.
I think she started us over roughly 5 times. So I think it might have been her limit.
So what's the scuttlebutt, sign guy? What else is going on besides all the bad news today?
Well, Sherry is hard at work. She's probably solved about 87 people's problems, because when Blog Talk sold this and I said, go to high def, you won't get charged for it ever in your life. It's new. We need people to try it out. Come on, do it.
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, that sounds all right. If we aren't going to get charged for it ever, why not? It sounds like it's a win-win scenario. And then when Big D and Von Hess were trying to bring the heat and terrorize the entire world last night, nobody could hear anything at all. It's like we were talking to ourselves for 25 minutes when all of a sudden it suddenly worked, and we're like, that was really bizarre and weird. And then today I hit one and they said, we are experiencing problems with our servers. Please call again or let Blog Talk know of the problem. And I said, well, I can't because your customer service is down. They didn't give you the option to contact them. And then finally, I got through because they opened it, and I snuck in there, and Sherry said, I'm here now. Let me help. And help she did for 2 hours. That broad helped. And she finally said, well, it's the high def thing that's causing the issue. I said, cancel my subscription to that. Don't want it anymore,
yes.
Sherry. And Sherry said, I understand. You can always opt out if we get the bugs worked out in the near future. And I said, that's not likely to happen. But Sherry was very understanding on that, because she probably listened to Bring the Heat. Well, nobody listens to that. But she probably tried to listen to Total Dudes, and she could not. And that frustrated her to no end. And she said, like John Cena, I will never give up. And she did not.
Well, that's Good for her. Good for her. Now the world will not be denied its weekly Total Dudes episode. The most important thing to happen to the world, really.
When you say the world, well, you mean Zane Paisley, right?
He is my world. Speaking of Zane, he was down for our annual, as you know, Super China Buffet Day for SummerSlam, and I've got to make everyone aware that at this prestigious dinner, Zane Paisley was presented with a gold medal for his success and accomplishments as the first ever Total Diva Olympian. There are pictures that I will get up on the page soon so everyone can appreciate the moment this happened.
Now, when you say he was down, you mean like he was ready for that?
Yes, he was very ready for that, is what I meant.
All right. Just so we're clear.
So I've got the Roku Indie Wrestling Channel app up because, as you know, I refuse to ever watch a WWE episode product again. So, Sign Guy, what can you tell me about this app? You're the one that brought it up. What's the deal with it?
Well, you have promotions from all over the country that upload either weekly or biweekly. I believe a few are just monthly tapings. And you get wrestling from all over. You can get AIWF promotions, NWA promotions. You can get just local independents. There's like three or four out of Indiana that are up there right now. And you can just watch all the promotions you want. Up in my neck of the woods, SCW Reloaded just taped this past Friday its first show that is planned to go up on the Indie Wrestling Network.
So, are you not on here yet then? There's no Sign Guy for me to look at?
Not to my knowledge. But sometimes you just see random people, you know. I was flipping through once. I'm like, oh, hey, Drew. I'm like, well, Drew Skills, what are you doing on my television here in Seattle? But he couldn't answer me because it was a tape program.
That's true. He could not. Oh, there's Drew Skills right there. It's Scott Steiner versus Drew Skills versus Lightning Bolt Johnson. I'll just put this on, see what happens.
I am in the locker room with all of those individuals.
Yeah, which one was the fartiest? Because I already know the answer.
I don't know how to answer that because I might have to share a locker room with them again.
I know how to answer it. It's Scott Steiner. When we were at Heroes and Legends, we played set up right next to Scott Steiner's stable. And, of course, he didn't like it. He walked past us. There's pictures on the internet. Everyone can see this. But as we went near to tear down our stuff, like afterwards, his table just reeked of farts. Just so much fart. It was like a dusting in the air. It was like a fog machine had came, but the fog machine was just Scott Steiner farts.
Wow. Did you like have your crew walk around so you could get the essence on your clothes and then sell them as a Scott Steiner memorabilia?
No, we did not because it was gross.
All right.
I bet that's why he left during our set. I bet he was really into it, but he just had to use the restroom.
Possibly.
Now, the reason why I've banned myself from any further WWE product is because of the Full Sail screw job when they screwed over ZZ. That man was worked. He was jobbed out by that company. He allegedly got less than half the votes that Josh did. And I'm supposed to believe that? ZZ, the most charismatic, you know, man on earth, the hero to all little baby gators all around the world. And he could only do less than half as good as Josh. Really? So this tomfoolery will not stand. The full sale screw job will be outed, and mark my words, that WWE is going to fall from this one.
Well, to be fair, if you watch Tough Talk the week before, they spent most of it burying ZZ because they were trying to position Josh as the guy that got the contract.
Yes. I don't, that doesn't affect anything.
Let me just bury you here for 30 minutes and see if that works, and that's what happened.
I don't know, brother. I don't see it. I'm furious. I refuse to watch a single second of WWE programming until this wrong has been righted. And I'm watching the Scott Steiner match, and the fat guy that was with him at Heroes and Legends is there with him. So I guess this fat guy is like Scott Steiner's like young boy, but knowing Scott Steiner, I'm shocked that he picked a fat guy, a fat ass, as his young boy. What do you think about this, fine guy?
Maybe it's his cousin.
I still am shocked he picked a fat ass. I don't know.
I give it
anything
a
else?
To be calling that guy the only guy that you've ever cared about in your life.
Who?
The young boy.
ZZ should be my young boy, and I would help take him to the top.
Maybe. But at least Sara Lee won.
Don't say at least Sara Lee won. She's the pits.
She's going to revive that company and make it a true revolution. None of this, hey, everyone that's feuding, run to the ring and hug each other. That's not
tell
a
me,
revolution.
Tell me about the match she had with Alicia Fox.
I characterized it as the worst match of all time, but you know, that's just the start. She's got nowhere to go but up from there.
And mind you, this match came after the Amanda Alicia Fox match that I would characterize as possibly the most dangerous, insane match I've ever seen.
Shows you how much they like Foxy. They're like, just go in there. If you get crippled, at least it's no one important.
Well, enough about that show. Let's move along. Let's get this rolling.
Was that a Limp Bizkit reference?
Rolling. Speaking of a Limp Bizkit reference, hit my music. Oh no.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, yes. It's time once again for that segment of the show known as Total Dialogue, where we take one scene from the episode of Total Divas we watched, we transcribe said scene, and we reenact it for you, the listener, at no additional cost. Tonight's scene will feature myself portraying Sign Guy's favorite diva of all time ever, Natalia Neidhart. And Sign Guy will be portraying Trinity and Tamina, but it really doesn't matter because they all kind of say the same thing, those two. So you can either pretend he's those two separate, or you can pretend he's just one of them, or, you know, have fun. Pretend he's someone else. Pretend he's, you know, John Cena talking to Natalia, whatever you want to do. Are you ready, Sign Guy?
I think so.
And scene. Hey!
Oh, Natty.
My boo-boo kitty.
Huh?
I am going out tonight with the girls, and I am just going to let loose. We're going to have the time of our lives, and I might even drink a skinny margarita because I'm doped, and I hope everyone can holler.
Let me check you out. I just want to see it. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around.
I work to own, not to rent, lease, or refinance. And I'm not like a spare tire. I'm your bae, okay?
What the fuck? I have no idea what's going on with Natty.
I want to make a toast to four words I learned this week.
What?
Bae, boo, boo-boo kitty, and dope.
She's dressing like a teenager, trying to speak Ebonics.
Freaky Blashinky, give me that cup, baby girl.
Freaky Bashiki, what a... You don't need to say none of those ever again and for the rest of your life.
Hey, guess what? We are going to die. According to Carano, the clock is ticking.
Oh, he told you that?
I am 32 years old. And I am being made to feel like Sally Jesse fucking Raphael. Okay, ready? Ziggy zaggy, ziggy, oi, oi, oi. What are they saying? What are they saying?
Nothing. Natty, come sit down.
What's the cheer? Ready? Ziggy zaggy, ziggy zaggy. Oi,
oi,
oi, yay, yay!
Oh my god, okay? Natty. Natty, 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 Natty.
What?
Natty.
What?
You're about to, like, fall down.
Give me a lizard kiss.
Seriously, oh my gosh. Natty, get down.
Okay, that was the only photo.
Natty, get down.
That was the only photo. That was the only photo. Wait, catch me.
Let's talk. Let's go.
You're being like my mom right now.
This is not you. It's weird, and it's smelling. I don't like it. Hey.
How do you think I feel pouring my passion into my job and being told that, like, I'm not good enough?
He told you that?
Like, I never felt fucking good enough at that job ever. I've always felt like the ugly duckling.
What's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong?
And scene. Sign guy, what was this?
I honestly don't know. But from what I can tell, Natty got completely wasted on as many substances as she could smoke, snort, swallow, and inject.
Yes.
Walked into a club, and she's like, I know, I'll become a racist today. And so she just decided to go full-blown racist.
Fleeky Bashiki.
Yes, and she was trying her best to make out with Tamina and Trinity and fans of a football team that was trying to just watch the football game and do their chants. But nope, Natty's like, I'll jump on the table and fall off of it as I make out with Tamina. That'll be great. And then I'll just insult Trinity by trying to be Saba Simba's racist aunt. And that's what happened.
Well, let's take a pause for a moment. Let's talk about this episode. This episode aired on 8/25/15, just in time for our 30th episode. This is number 30, Sign Guy, so happy birthday. But this episode was entitled, It's a Beautiful Life, or, as I would rename it, What If I Just Roundhoused You Right Now? So, what would you rename it, Sign Guy?
I would rename it, If We've Not Offended You, Hold On a Second, We'll Try Our Best Right Now.
All right, well, let's get started. Take us through why you hated Natty this week.
You're just presuming she was my number one, aren't you?
I mean, it could easily be Brie Bella, so.
Nah,
but
I
know you.
Yeah.
Definitely Natty.
To start the episode off, she took Foxy to some hipster, trendster, supposed spa, where she thought she was going to be getting some sort of facial. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's not a facial. And Foxy, who went with Natty, took pause, and she was like, well, if it's not a facial, what could it be? Well, Natty's just like, oh, yeah, it's a facial, and just signs all the consent forms and the paperwork, goes in there, and this guy's got a laser beam, and he's like, it's going to feel hot like a rubber band stinging you. And I'm like, that's not hot, that's painful. But the doctor didn't say that. He didn't know the difference. And so Natty's just getting this laser shot up in her, and it's obviously causing humongous pain as Foxy's holding her hand, and Natty's just squeezing the life out of that hand, probably crushed a couple of bones in Foxy's hand, while Foxy's filming it with her phone for the police. And then Natty's like, oh, yeah, that wasn't so bad. As she can't see, she's totally blind for several seconds, but she's like, oh, yeah, that's not bad at all. It melted her brain. That's the only thing I can think of for the rest of the episode. It melted her brain, caused severe brain damage. This supposed facial, which was not a facial, which the receptionist was very clear on reiterating, not a facial. It's some sort of weird therapy that will do severe damage. That's why we have 10 pages of consent forms.
Yes.
Natty just jumped in the chair, did it. And so then she's like, think I'll become a racist today. And think I'll be even stupider than I normally am. So she gets to work, and there's Mark Carano, and he needs to talk over her contract. Her contract, which keeps her employed and pays her, which she took seriously enough when she had visions of failing a drug test and being fired. She tried to wreck her own vehicle. She took seriously enough that she called Stephanie McMahon 20 times, leaving voicemail after voicemail about how they don't respect her and how she wanted the title. But now it's like a big joke. Carano's like, we need to talk about your contract. She's like, let's take selfies. And he's like, no, we're not taking selfies. The lighting's really good in here. And she just went, it was like talking to QT. And she's just like, I expected her to wander off for free coffee, but instead she's like, I have cat pictures, as Carano's trying to discuss the terms of her employment. So Carano's like, wow, we can't use her on TV. She's gone completely mad. So he wants to phase Natty out. The second she's done with Carano, she goes running to Nikki Bella, complaining to Nikki Bella, oh, Carano's trying to phase me out, and he thinks I'm too old. And when Carano comes over, and Nikki's like, you hurt her feelings. And he's like, no, no, I didn't. And why would you think that? And Nikki reiterates what Nikki or what Natty said, and Carano's like, I didn't say that. I said something completely different, which is why Natty and I are on two different pages and don't be telling our private conversations, which are contract negotiations, which you legally shouldn't be doing anyway. Natty's like, oh, okay, Mark. So anyway, Nikki, he says I'm old and I'm washed up and just won't let it go. And then she's like, what if I go to the bar and I just become really racist? How can I make that work? So she goes to catering, where she, like, starts looking up words on Urban Dictionary and insulting Foxy. And then she's like, what if I insult R-Truth, too? And then TJ, her own husband, has nothing to do with her. He just backs away really slowly. Like, he wants no part of her and her extreme racism towards R-Truth. And he leaves, just beelines it. His own wife he abandons. And so she gets to that club, causes a huge brawl, which, you know, leads to some, like, kung fu movie fighter extra coming out and wanting to fight with Tamina. And, you know, Natty's response is like, hey, I'll just stand here and sob silently. And so she tried that. That apparently didn't help.
Yeah, can we talk about this guy for a minute? Can we talk about that guy for a minute?
Sure. Do you know what movie he was in?
He was in a movie?
He had to have been, because he was an extra out of a kung fu movie that aired on El Rey.
he was definitely...
every kung fu movie.
This was the fakest thing I've ever seen in my life. This fella, he comes outside, he's like, hey, you all are terrible. You're ruining our club. And they're like, what'd you say? He said, you suck. And they say, it sucks. He's like, you suck. And then Tamina takes offense to this and tries to get into it with the fella. And then the fella says, what I would have renamed the episode, what if I just roundhoused you right now? And then he throws the weakest, most ridiculous, like, child-looking roundhouse kick I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing. And then Tamina gets furious, starts yelling about this guy wanting to beat up girls and this and that. And what happened there, son guy?
Well, someone at WWE dropped the ball because they were supposed to add in the big sound effects of the whoop-whoop-whoop-whoop, but they forgot. So you didn't get the when the kung fu extra guy threw his kick. He's used to that. That's what makes his kick strong. Because if you watch him on El Rey, he's got that going on all night. He's in every movie, and they're all great, and people watch him. But, you know, he's playing a football fan from, I guess, Thailand or wherever he's from. And he's like, yeah, you ruined our club because we meet here every week. And she's like, we're having a moment. We're having a moment. And he's like, well, your moment sucks, because he was probably watching an important playoff game. And Natty, like, falling all over his table, kicking their beers over. And, like, he's not worried about her racist tirade or getting laser beams shot in her eyes and blinding her. He wanted to drink his beer and watch his football, but he could not.
No. This was an amazing scene. I loved it. That roundhouse kick that guy throws is the most beautiful scene on the show at any point. Just stunning, this roundhouse kick. So if for any reason you want to watch the show, that should be the only reason to see this roundhouse kick this beautiful man through.
But you have to have B send you a sound clip of his normal kick of because if you play that at the right point, it'll be amazing. It won't look weak at all. It'll look like the strongest kick ever thrown.
Yes. Yes, I think just the sound clip would make that kick look very strong. All right, so what else about Natty?
I hope they don't re-sign her, because, you know, just based on that. What else is she going to do to embarrass the company? But she cried literally the entire episode, how they keep saying she's old, and not one person in that company at any point in time ever said to her, "You're really old. We won't re-sign you." What they said was, and I'm guessing here based on what they've done in the past, was, "Let's kind of diversify you and let you do more than just in-ring, because you're experienced enough, you can make it all work." And then in Natty's brain, he's like, "He just called me old and washed up," which is not what they did at all. And Carano explained that vividly to Nikki Bella.
Eesh.
So basically, she was throwing a fit over something that was never said.
Yes. What else happened with Natty? Anything of note?
No, they didn't have her in the whole Spygate series, so no.
Oh, God. Well, then let's move along.
Mark, you have a number one most hated.
I do have a number one most hated. This week, my number one most hated is Trinity.
No.
Just kidding. It's Brie Bella.
Wow.
Shocker. I threw you there, man. You were about to have a heart attack.
I was about to call Beast and have Beast go and play a sound clip of while he threw a roundhouse kick at you.
Oh, that would be brutal. Devastating.
Have you ever had Beast roundhouse kick you?
I don't know that Beast's leg can get that high, but then again, neither could the fella on this show, so.
Well,
now,
he would
about,
try.
Enough about that, the former member of this community, a.k.a. guy we will no longer name. She's done.
Wow.
Let's talk Brie Bella. This was another episode that perfectly exhibits why she is the most horrid garbage can, bottom of a barrel human being on Earth. It starts off with the idea that the WWE is going to have her record her own entrance music. The voice of 1,000 shrieking banshee nightmares is going to record her own entrance music. And then what was interesting about this was I was very surprised that Brie Bella thought she could possibly be great at something she's never, ever tried in her life before. I've never sung before, but I bet there's something great hidden in me. I just know because I'm the best at everything I try. So that was real shocking that Brie Bella would feel that way about herself in regards to her singing talents, something she's never done before, yet she feels she would be, just amazing at, because she's not a very vain, narcissistic, horrid example of humanity. Then we get her in the studio, and it is dirt worst recordings. Like, the Razor Ramones, we once recorded vocals after killing an entire bottle of Fireball. Fireball Whiskey, our new sponsor, and our recording went very poorly. But it was still better than this. And here's what Brie said. She said, "A part of me wants to destroy anything I've recorded in this studio today, but I won't, because I'm a crazed narcissist that needs to always be told I'm great at everything I do, always, no matter how positively wretched it is. So she knew it was bad, she wouldn't delete it, but she kept it so she could play for people, because she knew people, all the yes men around, would tell her how great it was, because that's the kind of validation she needs in her life, because she's horrible. So then she's with Nikki. She's with R-Truth again, poor R-Truth, just living a nightmare life in this episode. She tried to blame Auto-Tune for making her sound bad. This woman decided in her brain, oh, it can't possibly be me that sounds bad, because I'm Brie Bella, and everything I do is a delight, and everyone loves me and the sound of my voice and everything I do. It had to be the auto-tune, which is created to take these horrible voices and somehow make them sound almost manageable, and it still couldn't do for mine. So it was the auto-tune. Sorry, guys, you know how livid that made me?
I think it made you pretty livid. And can we clarify which of the two people in the studio was auto-tune?
He was the other guy. You know, you had the main recorder whose name was like Joey Microphone. And then you had that other guy who was kind of, you know, he told him to go in there and work with her on it. Remember? Remember the guy that he told to go work with her?
Okay, yeah. I know which one you mean now. Yeah.
That was classic
auto-tune.
German. Yeah. German.
He was not on board with it because the guy was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, don't worry about a thing. You're going to be perfect. And then when he heard it, he realized, I've never experienced anything this badly before. It's not going to be all right. So he sent Auto-Tune in to help Brie Bella. And Auto-Tune knew there was nothing he could do, but it was his job.
No.
So he had to go and at least make a token effort.
And it was clearly his fault. No fault of Brie Bella's. It was Auto-Tune's fault. But next up
What a weird name for a music producer, too. Auto-Tune.
No, it's like in the old days when people would be like, you know, their names would be their job. I can't think of an example offhand now. But it's a throwback. It's a vintage thing, you know. Old Auto-Tune is probably a work name. And he just decided, I want to take a name upon myself that'll really, you know, exhibit my German nationality as well as my desire to help horrid, narcissistic, train wrecked women have a scapegoat for why they're bad at something. So, Auto-Tune is a pretty nice guy.
How do you know he's not Austrian?
He could be Austrian. It's quite possible. I tried to find his Wikipedia, but it just led me to some computer program.
Kind of weird.
Now, next came my favorite scene of the episode, because it just let me laugh at how stupid Brie Bella is. And anytime I get a moment to myself to just appreciate watching Brie Bella fail, I relish it. So she's hanging out with her sister, and her sister, Nikki, says, gosh, why are you on Instagram all the time? And she's like, oh, I'm posting pictures. Why are you on it all the time? She's like, gosh. And then Brie says, well, I'm just having problems with this hashtag. And they say, oh, why are you having problems with this hashtag? And it's because Brie Bella couldn't figure out how to spell Ray Bans. Even if you think really hard after this, when you hear this, you say, oh my God, Brie Bella can't spell Ray-Bans. You start thinking in your brain, you're like, huh, how could Brie Bella really misspell Ray-Bans? You can't even come up with another way to spell Ray-Bans that makes sense, because Ray-Bans is just, it's Ray-Ban. Even if you spell the word entirely phonemically, Ray Bans, you would spell it exactly the way it is spelled. There is no way to misspell the word Ray. And if you say it phonemically, Ray. O-R-A-Y. Bands. Bands. Ray Bands. You could think for days about how you could phonetically possibly spell that in other ways, and you couldn't do it because it's stupid. And that woman had the gall to claim that her sister needs intelligence when she cannot herself spell Ray Benza.
Well, I have to jump in here. I have to jump in real quick and point out when Nikki Bella was mocking her for that, and she's like, you could spell it phonetically and get it right. And then they put type on the screen to point out that she misspoke and called it Ray Band. So she couldn't have got it either.
Listen, I'm not doubting that Nikki is dumb. That's never been a part of me. I'm quite aware that Nikki is a dumb person. But Brie is a dumber person because she fails her SATs because she can't write her names properly. She can't figure out how to spell Ray Bans.
Well, to be fair, Nikki couldn't figure out how to say it.
Hey, this isn't about Nikki.
I'm just pointing out that might have been part of her trouble. Was she like, Nikki, what's those glasses we like? And Nikki was like, Ray Band. And so when she tried to phonetically spell it, it was already messed up because her sister screwed it up and Brie just made it worse.
Listen, this is not a Bob Wire incident. It made me furious. So then we get the whole segment where the Nikki says she can be a better singer than Brie, which she is. Nikki goes, she does her singing, whatever. We'll probably talk about that later. But it's very clearly better than Brie's. There's not even a hint of a question. It's not like Nikki's good, but it's very obviously better than Brie. So Brie, and first off, your girl, she just totally sold out Nikki, your girl Renee, and played this music for Brie. Brie listens to Nikki being so obviously better than her in the studio, and she just starts laughing at it and saying how bad it is because it's not her and she's so great. And of course Nikki's worse than her because she's the Brie Bella. She's everything. And I couldn't stand it. And finally we get where Brie decides to trick her sister into singing the national anthem in public just so she can laugh at her. You know, and just her usual narcissistic BS that Brie Bella would do to someone. Oh, it's just Brie Bella being a horrible human being again to somebody. What a shocker. God, I can't stand this woman, sign guy.
I give it a week and she'll be the only thing that you've ever loved.
If there's one thing in my heart of hearts that I know and believe and can stand true to, is that Brie Bella will always be my most hated thing on this planet. Racism is pretty bad, you know. I don't care for homophobia. There's a lot of things that are horrible on our planet, and Brie Bella is the worst of all of them.
All right,
and while let me toss in my number two most hated, because it's a real quick one. My number two most hated was not a person, it was a thing. It was the Brie Bella versus Tamina Snuka match they showed during this episode. Having to tolerate mere moments of that match was worse than anything I've had to suffer in my entire life. Can you imagine having to watch that match live at Raw, unable to fast forward through it like every other human on Earth watching that show that night did? Those poor people deserve a medal.
you're saying it's not your match of the year.
No. Maybe one episode we can get into some of our matches of the year, but that is assuredly not it. So what do you got for me, Sign Guy?
My number two was Paige.
Oh, God, she was my number three, so yes.
Well, Paige this week apparently was on assignment filming a movie that no one will ever watch.
She was to describe how she was dressed first. Describe her outfit in this movie.
It was very elf-like. And I think it may have been a sequel to Mrs. movie from last year, but that was unclear. Mm. But she's filming this movie, and she sent for her boyfriend, Kevin, who's in a band. Now, can you recall the name of the band?
Day to Remember. You know what? I'll look up one of their songs real quick. Since we're not on the new place yet, we'll look up one of their songs. But you continue.
Now, Kevin from Day to Remember takes her flowers, and he's lost. So he's like, I'm in a weird cement ballpark-looking thing.
And she's like, baseball diamond.
And based on that, she's like, I know exactly where you are. So she runs. And it's a parking lot, which is like 50 feet from the set. And she's like talking all weird, like she's like Natty on crack. And like all excited, she takes him to the set where he's in the way and not helping things, and she goes back to acting. And then her and Kevin, they go to some undisclosed Vancouver, BC pub, and a fan comes over because she recognizes Kevin from A Day to Remember because it's her favorite band of all time. It's
never happened ever. Can we agree that that's never happened?
We cannot, because I saw it happen.
Did you see that girl's face, though?
Yes.
No, her face was covered up because she was portrayed by Emma on this show.
She was not. Emma had something else going on. But, like, this fan came over, and she knew Kevin from A Day to Remember. She's a big fan. She's like, you're my favorite band. You're Rex Razor Sharp 6 favorite band. Could I get a picture? And he's like, sure, no problem, because he likes to play safe to fans. But she had no idea who Paige was, and Paige was furious, like, how dare he have a fan that doesn't know me, even though multiple times already this series I've had fans come up to me while he stood there like an idiot.
Exactly.
And so, you know, she just was furious. Furious.
Yes.
And
she accused him of giving the fan the full service, which normally you would think would imply he was having some sort of full-on relations with this woman. But to Paige, full service is apparently taking a picture and then taking a second picture when the first picture wasn't good. Full service.
Exactly. And that infuriated Paige. So she had Rosa meet up with her, because Rosa was, as you pointed out last week, from Vancouver. So she just happened to be in town as well. And she's telling Rosa about this, and Rosa's like, oh, well, I put a secret recorder in the car of my ex-boyfriend to see if he passed the test. And Paige is like, well, this is a great idea. And Rosa was like, well, I think the secret recorder is a bit extreme, but I have another idea. And Paige is like, all right, let's do it, because, you know, even though we're grown women, let's do some junior high stuff. It'll be great. So Paige goes to this bar where she sent Rosa and her boyfriend on a date to make sure he wasn't talking to any other women, because apparently Rosa's not a woman. I don't think
no,
Paige ever
grabbed
that.
She's a robot.
I know that, and you know that, and QT definitely knows that, but I don't know if anyone else, including Zane Paisley, knows that. But she sends some random broad she'd never met in her life away from that broad's boyfriend to go hit on Kevin from the day to remember to see if he would drop everything and go to her hotel room. And she gave her 50 American dollars, not the Canadian dollars she was earning on the movie. She converted it somewhere and gave her this money that this broad would have to go across the border to use, thus not making it worthwhile. But apparently the broad took it just to get Paige away from her, and she quickly came back and she's like, yeah, he was really standoffish. So Paige like did this little weird winding walk, and she's like, you passed. And he's like, I passed what? The guy's like, oh no, I passed gas. I don't know what to do. But she's like, no, you passed the test. I sent a broad over to hit on you, and you passed. And the guy's like, that's really weird, because it was.
Yes.
It really was. And
it was.
And he's like, well, I'm going to go to bed now. He didn't say with that broad, but, you know, he clearly was like, well, I should have, because this relationship's over. And so he left, and then Paige, like, goes running out. And she's like, you don't understand. You've passed our sixth grade juvenile test that we were playing on you. And he's like, well, I didn't fly out here to have some weird test played. I came out to spend time with you. And Paige is like, no, this was more important. More important than that, we got to do some weird Laverne and Shirley-style fat sitcom spy game on you. And the guy's like,
yeah.
Well, that's bizarre. I'm just going to leave. And so he left. And then Paige went to the room for the two-minute wrap-up everything fine talk. Which
her
was
dreadful.
Weird in and of itself, because I couldn't understand 80% of what she said, because she kept doing these really weird voices.
Baby voice. Her dreadful baby voice, which she's asking him to apologize or accept her apology, was just excruciating.
He should have just had her thrown out by security. Just said, hey, there's a strange woman in my room. Please get her out of here. And they'll say, right away, Mr. Band Leader. And they're like, is it Winky Face Jonak again? And I'm like, no, not that weird and not that stalker-esque, but bad enough.
Well, let's take a moment to listen to A Day to Remember. This is the band this fella's in, and if you were to watch the show, you would think he was the lead singer, perhaps, right?
I think he plays the bass.
I think he does, too. I don't know for a fact, but I've just watched clips, and he's definitely in the background. They never show him. And we've got reasons. I'll get to that, too. But then that's what takes you back to the idea that this broad knew he was a... I don't buy it. But anyway, here they are. Here's A Day to Remember, only on Total Dudes with Sci Guy and Rex. Oh, by the way, they're covering that one song, Since You've Been Gone, by Kelly Clarkson. Well, let me talk about that for a minute. That sounds exactly like the original song. Could you make it out, Sign Guy?
No, not in the least.
Oh. Well, it was probably a waste of time for our listeners. But if you want to check these guys out, I don't know, go check out Since You've Been Gone. It's just exactly like the Kelly Clarkson song. except they don't do anything different to it.
So what you're saying is kind of delightful.
It's kind of delightful. It wasn't the worst. But, yeah, so that's A Day to Remember featuring Kevin. Now, any more with Paige? I think we covered most of her. She was horrible. She decided to take Rosa Mendez's directions, which is never a good idea. And that guy's definitely going to dump her. Who else was on your list?
Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah, he had a moment. Take us to it.
Well, they're at Raw, and Dolph Ziggler wants to take Nikki Bella, who's John Cena's girlfriend that lives
mm-hmm.
in his house.
And mind you, she's all these things, but she is a former crush piece of Dolph Ziggler.
That's right. She probably watched Dolph Ziggler versus Crush on YouTube. And now, John Cena probably spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a month on this prod because she's always wrecking his cars and messing up his house and needs $80,000 purses that she'll use once. And Dolph Ziggler wants to take her away to Singapore. Just like, yeah, let's go to Singapore. And Nikki Bella's not very bright, so, you know, she's like, oh, okay, can I go first class? And since it wasn't first class, she wasn't going to go. But if it was first class, she would have went to Singapore for 5 nights with Dolph Ziggler. Just no reason, just like, oh, well, I'm basically, you know, married to John Cena here, but, yeah, why not? I'll go to Singapore with Dolph Ziggler where there's really strange marriage laws and, like, human slavery and all kinds of weird stuff that he could take advantage
mm-hmm.
of. Why not? Why not? And Dolph Ziggler's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to end up with this broad, and John Cena's going to pay for it because he knows what will happen. John Cena will be like, well, I'll buy you a home. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she'll just move Dolph Ziggler into the house. And she's like, by the way, I wrecked your sports car. Get me a new one. And one for Dolph.
Oh,
and John Cena will be like, okay.
You think Nikki Bella is going to cuckold John Cena with Dolph Ziggler? Is this what you're saying? That there's going to be some cuckolding in this storyline?
I would have to use Natty's phone to look that up on Urban Dictionary. But what I think will happen is Nikki Bella will be like, well, John Cena is still going to pay for everything. So, you know, he'll buy me and Dolph a house and cars. And Dolph is like, I never have to work another day of my life. Nikki Bella will get John Cena to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, like, they think that John Cena is the WWE version of Stompin' Steve to Nikki Bella's Lyla Lodge. And it's the weirdest thing. But it's like an actual thing that's going on.
All right, so here's the Urban Dictionary definition of a cuckold. Get ready for this. A sexually inadequate husband or boyfriend who accepts his wife's pussy as her sole property and she alone decides which men she will fuck, even if it means denying her husband. Oh, no.
Wow.
Now, no, it's not done yet.
Imagine in Hood Slam, a new wrestler, cuckold Scorpio.
Well, here's the part where it gets a little... his only access to her pussy is to clean it of the ejaculate of males she chooses to fuck.
Wow. Well, you'll also have to buy the homes and the cars. And
exactly. The basic idea of a cuckold is that they are the husband of an adulterous wife, but oftentimes these husbands will get off on their women being the adulterous. They're cuckolds.
Now I'm going to have two cold Scorpios theme in my head. Only it'll be like this hood slam version, Kukold Scorpio. And all these broads are like, everybody, here comes Kukold Scorpio. And then they'll be doing the two-step down the sidewalk, yelling, Kukold, Kukold.
So, what else about the zigzag man, the Kukold man? Is that it?
He just looked shifty.
He did. I agree. I didn't like it. I don't want to see John Cena Kukolded. He doesn't deserve that. Let's move along. I got to talk about my top three. This is important to me. This is a very important moment because, Sign Guy, it was the return of Fat Camouflage, brother. Did you see it?
I did.
Kevin, the aforementioned boyfriend of Paige and lead singer of A Day to Remember, showed up this year in Vancouver. And what we all know is Fat Camouflage for Punk News, the leather jacket. Her previous boyfriend, Bradley Vimarosa, he also wore the leather jacket to hide his fat. And that's where we came up with Fat Camouflage. And it was like having an old friend show up just to hang out for a little while, you know, to shoot the shit and have some nice cold Miller Lights. Oh, it was so comforting and sweet. And I just love seeing the return of Fat Camouflage to this show.
Can we get an estimate on the temperature in Vancouver during late June? Because slightly south of that, it was already getting fairly warm.
We could look here real quick. Look, you tell me about this Fat Camouflage. How do you think this fellow looked in the Fat Camouflage?
I thought he looked fine in it. It seemed like he was not too uncomfortable, but I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, they're in Vancouver, and it's late June-ish as they're filming this. I'm like, he had to be horribly uncomfortable because it was getting fairly warm at that point in time. The last few Junes, he would have been fine because it never got above 65 degrees as a high during the day.
Oh.
But this past year, like 2 months ago, it was already hitting in the upper 80s.
I was going to tell you what the temperature was, but it's in Celsius, and I don't know what that means.
Celsius is a term for temperature that's used in most European and Central American countries.
What's the conversion amount? Is it 2.2?
It's like a complicated formula. But most people know Celsius in Canada, so why don't you just give it to us?
Well, it was all the way up to 28 degrees Celsius. Well, some days with the low of 16 degrees Celsius, or even as low as 12 degrees Celsius.
So it was up in the mid to upper 70s. Yeah, that's about right.
I'm going to look to see 12 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit.
Now, we're going to look
Celsius,
at the warmest one first.
12 degrees Celsius would be 53 degrees Fahrenheit. So, depending upon the time of the day he was there, it could have been fairly chilly.
Yeah, but we're looking at the warmest because he was there when they were filming late in the day, because they had already been filming for quite a while.
That's what I'm saying. This is the low, so you could assume it might have been around 60 degrees at the time they were filming. That's I probably wouldn't have put on like a hoodie and a Fat Camouflage, but hey, maybe he's a chilly kind of guy, you know?
Maybe. But yeah,
I think it was
probably warmer than that, though. I think he just stayed uncomfortable.
Do you think if he hangs around with Paige that she will cuckold him?
No, because I think she would just do these, like, bad sitcom subplots time after time on him, and he would just eventually get fed up, and he would just, you know, phase her out. She'd be like, in her weird unintelligible voice would ask him, do you want to go to the strip club? And he would be like, oh, I've got to catch a plane. I'm going out of town. She's like, where are you going? And he's like, oh, through a tunnel, and then just hang up.
Good point. All right, move on with your top three. We talked enough about the fat camouflage.
My number three was Riley.
Riley was...
delightful, yes. She was the aforementioned fan that saw Kevin from A Day to Remember, and she remembered him from being from A Day to Remember. So she went over to get a picture, have a few words. He was with some random broad she didn't know, so she's like, oh, you brought someone along to take pictures. Okay, great. She was just so excited to meet this guy. She's probably got all of their albums, probably on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has pictures of them up on her wall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably listens to this show just in case we talk about Kevin.
Well, she was a delightful fan. I felt Paige was rude to.
Now, have you ever had a fan go up to you after you've played the Razor Ramon show and just want a picture, and you had someone with you that was openly hostile to that fan for wanting that picture?
I'm usually the one that's openly hostile about anyone wanting a picture with me. I don't like to sign autographs. I tell people to get better heroes. So that's where I'm at. So it would be me that would be hostile about it. But that I'm a jerk, so.
So if some broad just came up to you and she like, I listened to all the Razor Ramon songs ever, especially I Don't Want to Go Down to the Dungeon of Doom. Could I get a quick picture? You'd just walk away.
Yeah, I'd say, I got somewhere to be.
No wonder Riley picked A Day to Remember over the Razor Ramones.
Well, we're not called the bad guys for nothing, brother. We're there for the... Those fans are there for us. I'm not there for them. They can watch our set. They can buy our shit. But they don't... They aren't owed anything else, Daddy.
Poor Riley. All right, moving along to your number two.
Nikki Bella. I know
this
that
has
doesn't
to be
seem...
a rib.
Nope, it's not. The fact that she mocked her sister and tried to do things to be better than her just because of how narcissistic Brie always is about herself, I appreciate that. Wanting to show her sister how much better than she is great. Telling everyone how horrible Brie singing is and showing it to them all so everyone could laugh at Brie and like point at her and say, oh, it's something you're not good at for once, Brie, but you're nearly the best. That's good. Everyone should always want to shame Brie Bella for being the pits. So that alone was enough for me.
Wow. I was upset with Nikki. And 95% of the reason she was going to ruin a perfectly good Ducks playoff game for no reason. She's just going to go out there and she's like, well, I can't really sing the national anthem, but I'll do it anyway. Why would she do that? Who in their right mind goes to a major playoff game and the Ducks had a great season this year? And she's like, well, they gave me an hour's notice, so they must really want me for the national anthem of this major playoff game. She probably would have walked out there if Brie hadn't, like, fully diverged what actually happened, and it was part of an episode of Swerved. And she was just going to sing the anthem horribly in front of 17,000 people. Why would she do that?
Just to prove her sister.
Why would she go out there and make the captain, Ryan Getzlaf, angry. Why?
You can look, but you can't touch, man.
Mike Santarelli would have been for words. He probably would have ran out and just checked her right into the boards as she was singing the anthem.
Nice.
And another thing, she acted like she could play hockey. She wasn't doing anything remotely close to right. She was like, oh, it's like golf. And she's trying to hit the puck like it's a golf ball. That's not hockey.
This is true. This is true.
And she couldn't even fight. She couldn't hockey fight.
No. All right, well, what else you got? Who'd you like?
Number two, I had John Cone.
Yeah?
Now, number one, he wasn't on for very long. Number two, Natty was doing this thing where she asked everyone how old she looked. Because, you know, in her mind, Mark Carano said, you're really old, which he never did. Mm. So she's going around asking this random people, how old do I look? And Cone, being a seasoned veteran referee that was on the JBL and Renee show for several episodes, he looked at her and said, I'm not going to play that game. And he just went along, just continued on. He could have been in the episode more, but he said, I don't like where this is going, and this broad's just going to say something really racist any second, so I'm just going to leave. And he did. He didn't stay in the episode. He knew when it was time to go on.
Good grief. Let's hear it. Who else? I've gone through mine.
My number one, Jim Johnston.
Jim Johnston. Yes, sir.
Now, Jim Johnston, for the people that aren't aware, has been with WWE for probably close to 30 years, if not right at 30 years. He's the man that writes the very majority of the entrance themes that people in WWE have.
Mm-hmm.
He's been their lead music person since the Hogan era, the original Hogan era. Wrote most of the songs for Piledriver.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Been around forever. And they don't send Bree to him, but they send Nikki there. And Jim knows there's something not right because Renee Young comes in and he can tell, well, Nikki's not taking this seriously because her and Renee are just acting like it's just a casual, oh, we'll knock this out in an hour and go back to the bar type of thing. He can tell right away there's a problem. And then he knows that, yeah, she's definitely not taking it seriously because Renee makes the analogy that it's like karaoke. And so Jim's like, oh, dear Thez in heaven, what have I done with my life? Why am I being punished? What did I say to Vince McMahon to want him to do this to me? But he continues on and he tries. He's like, we'll just try it sober first.
Yeah.
So when she starts out, he's like, well, we're getting there. And then he yells, no, we're not. I lied. And then he's like, champagne's sounding like a good idea right now. Some people might have taken that as, hey, he's going to go get some champagne for Nikki and have her just hammer it back. He meant for himself.
He
lost the will to live. He was just going to booze it up to the point where he didn't care what she sounded like, and he was just going to tell McMahon, screw you and your Nikki Bella, I quit. You could see it in his eyes. But he continued on, and when they first got there, Renee Young asked him, who is the worst singer you've ever had? And he said, well, I won't name names, but a couple of people were so bad I had to sing the line and have them repeat it back. And we just kept doing it that way. And so he goes to Nikki Bella, who doesn't grasp that's exactly what he does to her because she's the worst singer he's ever had in the studio. And he had to baby step each line to her and have her repeat it back exactly as he did it. But she didn't grasp it. She's like, he really likes it. He wants to sing with me. But no, that's what he said he did to the very worst singers that's ever come into that studio at the WWE headquarters. Renee Young grasped it. That's why she was filming it on her phone, because she understood what was going on. Nikki was oblivious to it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
She was probably thinking, I wonder what caller John will let Dolph and me paint our guest room so we can have Renee Young over.
When we're cuckolding in John Cena. Oh, brother, I think we need to wrap it up. Anything else we should talk about?
Yes. Now, Renee Young was extremely gracious this week in appearing on Total Divas. Normally, she appears on Unfiltered with Renee Young, which is the greatest WWE-produced show of all time, and has recently gone back to what makes it great, Renee Young having brunch with other people. They've gone back to that the last two episodes, and they've been positively brilliant. Even the most recent one was Stephen A. Mill and Jason Harding's cousin. She made it great. They were just sitting there having fruit, drinking some beers, talking. It was
tremendous. Let me ask you a question. This Stephen A. Mill guy at SummerSlam, did you think, as did I, that he looked almost identical, save one small thing, to Zach Gowen?
No.
Really? You didn't see it? The shorts, the face, the head, the hair, the build?
No. No, I know Zach Gowen. I've worked shows with Zach Gowen. I didn't see it.
All right.
And did you make that reference just for Winky Face Joe and Axe, so she'll even draw bigger hearts and send them to you for autographs?
Why would that be?
Because, you know, she thinks Zach Gowen is the greatest WWE superstar of all time, so if you mention him in Winky Face's mind, it probably means you're proposing marriage, because you know how that broad thinks.
Well,
you're going to get texts with nothing but Winky Face emojis.
My favorite segment in all-time WWE is Brock Lesnar killing that kid in front of his mom. So it would be the opposite of something anyone could like that enjoys that fella.
She loved it just because he was in it.
She did not. She hated it. She was crying.
You're going to get 87 texts with nothing but winky face emojis. Beth Sharp's going to bite. Come home, and you're going to be like, I'm sorry, I can't talk now. I'm still going through the 1,000 emojis I got from Winky Face.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Zane Paisley's going to be like, hey, do you want to go hang out? And you're going, nope, still going through my phone. Got all these emojis to sort through.
Oh, brother. What do you got coming up?
Well, speaking of Zane Paisley, on Friday, he'll be on Sign Guys Wrestling Show as we wrap up Zane Month.
Zane Month.
One more Zane in Zane Month.
Yes. What else?
Then, Sunday, we have no guest for Turnbuckle because the guest canceled, and like the first three people I've asked were busy. So, you know, I'm still looking for a guest. Still looking. But I'll find someone. And then, you know, I'm supposed to beeline down to NWA Blue Collar, where this past week, things went pretty smoothly.
Good. Glad to hear things have gotten in order. Anything else?
I think everyone should just give up on the whole page thing, and when that comes up on the screen, flip over to Unfiltered with Renee Young and give that a shot.
I'm into anything that means less of page, so I'm on board with you.
You are not, because You have canceled your WWE Network subscription because you'll never watch another second of that company again.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just know when Paige is on TV because I'll, like, subconsciously feel it. And when she comes on, I'll switch over to something very diametrically opposed to Paige. You know, like a woman with a tan that can wrestle really well. Boom.
So you're going to flip over to, say,
Taryn Terrell.
Nice choice. Or maybe a Velvet Sky.
No, she can't wrestle well.
She's not bad.
Yes, she is.
No.
All right. Well, this Friday night, Razor Ramon's returning to Louisville, Kentucky, so I can go eat tacos at Taco Luchador, hopefully.
You told me that was canceled.
It isn't. I can't get out of it. I want to go to the Northeast rivalry football game, but we got to play with our Art of Wrestling Eskimo brothers, the Barbariettes. We got to play with this band, Boner City. We've got to play with Tracers, our good buddies Tracers. And we got to play with this band, Rebuilder. So it is what it is, my man. You live the life, you know.
And no one's going to be able to hear these bands because there's going to be this shrill voice demanding everyone, shut up, shut up, shut up, stop playing, while you hear Zach Gowan stories all night.
Well, we're going to tell her it's at a different bar than it's actually at.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. So, nothing to worry about there. We'll tell her Slick's going to be up the street.
She doesn't know who Slick is. Never heard of him.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know what? You know what I know?
Do you know Slick's email address so I can get him for Sunday?
Slick at slick.net.
All right.
Give it a try. Give it a try. Just see. All right, brother. I can't do it anymore. I've had a long day. I'm exhausted. See, doing this shit this late at night, I get too worn out. I don't get rambunctious enough. Gotta do it early. I'm about to fall asleep.
It's so not I'm even 9 o'clock. You got 6 minutes before beddy time.
It's well into the midnight hours, almost. That's when she screams more and more and more.
All right. Well, as you get
ready
for beddy bye.
Yes.